Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, here we go, the Caucasian Caucus. The day after. All right, so what do you expect me to say about this? I'm glad that Cruz won. Let me say this. Any Republican that wins, I will vote for. Okay, can we set the record straight? Do I like Cruz? No. Did I like Trump more? I still do. Does it really matter who wins in Iowa? Let me ask you a question. Does it matter who wins in Iowa? Well, let's look back. Iowa has not picked a winner in 20 years. Bill Clinton, Reagan, Bush, Carter, McCain, Romney all lost in Iowa, but won the nomination and some then won the presidency. So let's not get carried away here. The big news here is that socialism is alive and well in Iowa. Maybe that's true in America. The big story really is that Sanders almost beat Hillary, and had they not stolen the vote from Sanders, he probably would have won. Had Google not thrown it for Hillary, Sanders probably would have won, which is truly the biggest story of the day. But as you well know, the media won't ever talk about that, and the only thing they're going to talk about is Trump's a loser, Trump's a loser, Trump's a loser. All of the jealous ones are saying Trump's a loser. Let's wait and see what happens in New Hampshire and onward. The big story here is that a socialist nearly won in Iowa. And I think you should stop obsessing about Donald Trump and Celia Cruz. A socialist nearly won in Iowa. I'm not interested in Celia Cruz and Donald Trump right now. In fact, if Sanders was not as disgusting as he is physically and not as unappealing, his politics would have won in Iowa. It's just that they look at the guy and they hold their nose and they still can't vote for him. Now, the fact of the matter is, I'm going to talk about socialism in the farmland. Do you know about agrarian socialism? Does anyone remember the words agrarian socialism from high school? I have a very keen memory, and I remember reading about agrarian socialism in the Oklahoma countryside way back when, then in the Iowa countryside. There's always been a strong agrarian socialist movement in the farmlands. Did you know that? Now, what does it have to do with Iowa? Well, it has a lot to do with it. In fact, somebody wrote a great article entitled Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus in the Oklahoma Countryside, 1904 to 1920. Now, I know we're talking about Iowa, not Oklahoma, but it applies. Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus were actually being argued over yesterday in Iowa. People, some of them knew it was about Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus competing for the vote. Most didn't know that it was Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus who were being actually fought over in yesterday's election. When you say Karl Marx, you know it's Bernie Sanders. When you say Jesus, you know it was Ted Cruz. And when you say Jefferson, it was more Trump. Actually, if you just break it down that way, it was like that. Now, there's another element to this that you should understand. This is primarily a Democrat state, Iowa. Since 1988, they voted for a Republican candidate just once, G.W. Bush in 04. It is primarily a Democrat left-leaning state. That's the fact of reality. 04, they voted for Bush. 08, they voted for Obama. 2012, they voted for Obama. So, you know, what do you expect? It's a left-leaning state. They like Bernie Sanders and they like Ted Cruz. Now, how do you define yourself politically? I want you to try to think instead of being a middle school level knee-jerk conservative, which has very little meaning today. Oh, I'm a conservative. What does that mean? What does that word mean? Now, you immediately say, Constitution. Fine. We got that already. How many years do I have to hear the same word till we all get it? What, are you the only one who read the Constitution? I read it in the fifth grade. We understand it. Stop beating us up about it already. Everyone trusts the Constitution who is a conservative or a Republican. But you need to go beyond that. Try to think instead of being a middle school level knee-jerk conservative. We've heard the words knee-jerk liberal, knee-jerk liberal, and you laugh at them. But what is a knee-jerk conservative? Probably most of talk radio's listeners define themselves as so. How do you define yourself politically? Are you a values voter, a party activist, a feminist? Are you politically correct, a libertarian? Are you disaffected, gun enthusiast? Would you say you're a cynic, a centrist, an isolationist? How about this? Would you be, in your mind, a capitalist, a socialist? Would you say you're devoutly religious? Would you say you're neoconservative? Would you say you're an optimist? Would you say you're a true believer? Would you say you're an anti-Wall Streeter? Would you say you're politically incorrect? Think about what I just said to you. These are words that are not used in talk radio today. We're down to two words, conservative and communist. Conservative and socialist. Socialist, conservative. I can't do it. So let's try to open up the conversation to something a little broader. A lot of other things out there to talk about other than two words. And I think the most interesting to me is the agrarian socialist strain in Iowa. I remember reading about it in high school. It came back to me this morning as I was analyzing the Caucasian caucus. Someone asked me last night, what did you think of the vote when Cruz beat Trump? I said, I don't think it's representative of America. He said, you're right. That's all. Period. End of story. That doesn't mean Cruz is not going to go on to winning May. And I'll lay it out again so you finally get it right. If he's the candidate, I will vote for him. I think he's a terrible choice to be the candidate for one reason. Because he's a maniac when it comes to attacking Putin. He's 1,000% wrong on hating Putin. Where he gets this from is very clear to me. He's an old Reaganite. He still thinks the Cold War is alive and well as it was in the 1950s. He still thinks ICBMs are aimed at each other and that the Iron Curtain hasn't fallen down. He still has the image of Khrushchev banging a shoe on a table. Someone fed that to his brain. Why do they hate Russia and Putin? Ask yourself about these great constitutionalists. Why they have such a vendetta against Putin, who's our natural ally against radical Islam. That's the one danger about this Ted Cruz. Who is advising him on this? I don't know. I can only imagine it's some old failed Reaganites waiting for Confederate money to be spread out again. You know, save your Reagan dollars. The South will rise again. Now, I know you want to talk. I know you don't want me to talk, but I'll keep talking for a while. And the phone number here, if you want to talk, is 855-400-7282. Grab a line, that's all. Now, Carson is claiming Cruz ground forces planted a dropout story to win in Iowa. Okay, night of dirty tricks, says Fox News. Ben Carson claims the workers for Cruz ran around saying that Carson was dropping out. And today, I think, isn't it true, Robert, that Cruz acknowledged he did it? He said he had really didn't know what was going on. His people did it without his know, right? So a lot of those people voted for him. Now, here's something you don't want to hear. But as an expert in statistics, I have to say something that's a little worrisome, by the way. Now, you know the Cruz won in the Republican primaries and that Donald came in second and that Rubio came in third. We all know that. But no one's reading the statistics right. As someone who is trained to read data correctly in my epidemiological statistical analysis, I had to read data every which way to Sunday, up, down, sideways, forwards, backwards, to study disease patterns. And here's how I analyze it. Tell me if you agree with me, because you're not going to want to hear it, but you'll hear it first in the Savage Nation, and perhaps you'll learn something from it. Okay, so we know who won. We met about 8,000 people voted, more than voted for Cruz than voted for Trump. But if I remember correctly, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, 23,000 voted for Rubio. What would have happened if it was a two-way race, if it was only Trump versus Cruz? Cruz would have won 2 to 3 to 1. Do you know that? Do you understand what I just said to you? The real story here is that Donald was very weak in Iowa, very much weaker than you may think. You could say, well, you know, Rubio split the vote, and if it wasn't for Rubio, Trump would have surged. I don't think so. I think if Rubio wasn't in there, Cruz would have gotten most of those votes from Rubio. That's my opinion. And that's very worrisome for those of you who think this is going to play out the same way in other states, but it's not going to play out the same way in other states. Iowa is an anomaly. It's known as an outlying statistic. It's not America. So you can keep focusing on it all you want. And for those of you who love one candidate over another, you can make more of it than you want. And those of you who lost, you can make less of it if you want. And both positions are not invalid. But one is more valid than the other. in plain English, because Iowa is an anomaly. Iowa is not America. I keep saying to you, Iowa is primarily an agrarian socialist state. It has a history of agrarian socialism. The Socialist Party was very big in that state in the last century, in the early parts of the century. Farmers have always distrusted Wall Street. Did you know that? Wall Street, yeah. You say, well, that's a dirty word. That's a code word, by the way, for something other than a category of work. When you say Wall Street, you're really saying something about an ethnicity rather than a job category. But I won't go into that now because it's too easy. Ooh, I hate bankers. Another code word. Banker is a code word, a polite word for something else as well. You know, but before we get off that topic, I really feel it's necessary as someone who understands big business, more so than you may understand. You have to understand that banks, investment banks like Goldman Sachs, and hedge funds actually run America. Whether you like it or not, it's hedge funds and Goldman Sachs that are running America, for better or for worse. I mean, you may as well get used to it, instead of sitting there complaining, thinking that it's 1970. It's not 1970. Is this what I want? Well, I see nothing wrong with investment banks. I don't know what's wrong with it. I don't know. People say, oh, banks. What, do you want to conduct a business deal in the billions of dollars? You can do it. You're smart enough to do it. You're not smart enough to do it. These people are geniuses in the investment bank world. Don't underestimate them. They're the ones who keep the machinery turning, that keeps America's corporations alive, by the way. You want a massive depression, then get rid of all the investment banks and get rid of all the hedge funds. You'll have a nice meltdown. You'll have the Dust Bowl again. That's all. I mean, many of you don't live in the modern world, the current world, excuse me. You're living in the past. You have to live with what is. Now, in my old book, Trickle Up Poverty, I talked about what's wrong with some of the activities of some of these institutions, and I don't want to repeat it and sound academic and redundant, but in the Trickle Up Poverty, which was a runaway bestseller, way ahead of its time, often quoted, I talked about banks, believe it or not, and I have to find the exact statement so I'm not misquoting myself, and I believe it was here about the uptick rule, and I can't really put my fingers on it. Here it is, reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. And I talk about what that means, short selling, the uptick rule, which was eliminated by the SEC under Bush, I believe. Oh, yeah, Bush did that one. And there was another one that was very important, Glass-Steagall. I was the first to talk about in that book. I know many people talk about it today, but the Glass-Steagall Act was eliminated, I believe, under Bill Clinton by the fly fisherman who he handpicked and put into the Treasury Department to eliminate the Glass-Steagall Act so they can basically take risks without taking risks. So, you know, in terms of wild speculation, there needs to be some kind of constraint imposed. But let's not throw the entire institution out the window, is what I'm saying to you. You can say what you want. Banks are this, banks are that, and you know, hedge funds are this. They're here to stay. There needs to be some constraints rather than destruction of these institutions. And secondly, no matter what you think, they're not going to be eliminated just because you don't like it. And they're going to listen to you? Who do you think picks the candidates? Who do you think picked Rubio, this unknown nobody, to even run? The dark horse who's probably going to be elected because he's wanted by the establishment. Who is the establishment? The hedge funds and the investment banks. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. It's like a day after a snowstorm. You want to talk about the slush that we're looking at today? Go ahead, 855-400-7282. Let's analyze the slush in the street. And we'll talk about Sanders is the big winner and that the agrarian socialism of Iowa is not dead, that a socialist nearly won the Democrat side and he's not finished, and that Trump, who came in second, was very lucky that there was a third guy named Rubio, or Cruz would have beaten him 2 or 3 to 1, by my estimation. The Rubio voters would have gone with whatever his name is, Cruz, and it would have been a real landslide against him, but nevertheless, I mean, in reality, What does it really mean? If you look at the history of Iowa, it means nothing. I mean, how many different ways do we have to say the same thing, and how often will I have to say it? How often do we have to say the same thing? They've often picked people in Iowa in the caucuses that have gone on to lose. Too often, by the way. In fact, more often than not, they've picked losers. So how much can you make of it? Whatever you want to make of it. You want to tell yourself you're a genius because you were behind this one, then go ahead, you're a genius. You want to tell yourself you bet on the wrong horse, go ahead, you bet on the wrong horse. The average American doesn't even know what's going on, that's all. The average American goes on with their daily life. They watch baseball. They look interested in the Super Bowl this Sunday. I know very intelligent people who are going to the Super Bowl, and I'll tell you, I was invited, I'm not going. Someone I know has seats on the 50-yard line. Doc, you want to go? No. Family, I'm not going. I went last time in New Orleans. Remember, I walked out after the quarter time. I left. I was so bored. I had to leave. The peanuts and the corn and the beer, the swilling, the crazy eyes. It looked like the Roman arena to me. I mean, when I watch sports, I'd rather watch it on TV. That's me. I mean, many people would like to go. It's like a lifetime. I don't want to go. But the average American wants to go. They don't know about it already, what happened in Iowa. You say Iowa, they don't know what it is. The average American doesn't relate to Iowa. Doesn't mean that then it's not there. It's one of a number of states. Most Americans don't know how many states are in the United States. They probably think France is part of the United States. Well, Mexico is certainly part of the United States, probably the 52nd state. They think Hawaii is part of Japan. You do a geography test of the average kid in high school, they don't know who anyone is. And a lot of them are going to vote, by the way. And their parents are just as smart as they are. They're interested in it being anti-war, black power, feminism, immigration, socialism. They say they're a student and that's their politics. They don't really know the ins and outs of all of this. And most of you don't either. And you'll over-identify in a category that doesn't even have meaning, in my opinion. So you ready? We blew through two sets and I haven't taken a call yet.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-728. Savage.
So the Caucasian caucus is over, now let's move on. Let's move on to the rest of America. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What does it actually mean? It's from Matthew 22, 17, 21, for those of you who think I don't know the Bible, where they said to Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And he said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is on this? And they said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. That's very interesting. And that's why I took umbrage at those who were trying to appeal both to the religion of the caucus goers and to the state of affairs in America at the same time. That's all. Simple as that. Let's go on to the callers. Let's see what's going on here. You know, there's something you don't know. Why do you think people stay in these campaigns even though they're losing and they can't win? What you don't know is the financial element involved in these campaigns. For example, if I had run for the office just to make money, I could have made tens and tens of millions of dollars in campaign funds, knowing I didn't have a chance to win, and I would have stayed in the race to the last second to collect even more money, and then I would have, like John Boehner does, tons of money after he's out of office to disperse. Of course, you can't take it for yourself. You go to jail for that. But there are fortunes made in running for office in this country. And those who lose make fortunes that they then spend for years afterwards in ways you can pretty much, you know, imagine. So there's so many elements to this that we're not talking about that need to be discussed. Let's take the calls, go through them, and start all over again. How's that? What now? Could we not do Trump all day long? I already got three Trumps, one Rubio, one Cruz. Can we not do this? Okay, here we go. KCMO, Roger, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I'm glad you didn't take those other calls to Trump. My point is the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, all Representative 3 Republicans, was the one that repealed Glass-Steagall. They deregulated the banking industry, siren.
Right. Let me explain what we're talking about. The Glass-Steagall Act. I describe this in great detail in Trickle Down Tyranny on pages 87 and 88. I don't want to read from it. It was passed in 1933 in order to spur a recovery from the Great Depression. And what it required was the banks be separated into commercial banking operations and investment banking operations. They were separated. And prior to Glass-Steagall, banks were permitted to loan money as well as to invest it and broker investments for their clients. And this led to their being dangerously over-leveraged and to one of the most disastrous effects of the stock market crash of 1929, which was the failure of the American banks. So after the Great Crash, they passed Glass-Steagall to separate the banks, right, and to regulate that. Then along comes Bill Clinton, who appoints as Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin. Robert Rubin engineered the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and then the distinction between commercial and investment banks disappeared once again, and the stage was set for the crash of 08 that got Obama elected. Isn't that doesn't that summarize what you want to say?
Yeah, pretty much, and that Mr. Graham was rewarded a vice president of the UBS Worker vice president job after he represented.
All right. I'm glad we're touching on this because there's a lot of subtlety to this. Because of the repeal of Glass-Steagall by Bill Clinton, what's interesting is Hillary's running as an anti-establishment candidate. She has engineered, her and her husband engineered all of this. She engineered the Arab Spring and destroyed the world. And how she gets away with it is not bewildering. You can thank Fox News for that. I'd expect the cover-up from CNN and MSNBC. That's their stock and trade is cover-up and camouflage for Hillary Clinton and the socialist Islamist machine. But you'd think that Fox News would expose Hillary at every turn, that every time they'd say Hillary, they'd say, her and her husband eliminated Glass-Steagall. Her and her husband caused the banking crash. Her and her husband caused the Arab Spring. She caused the Arab Spring. The worst Secretary of State in the world. That's what should be said every time a name is mentioned. So what happened? After Clinton and Robert Rubin engineered the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and the distinction between commercial and investment banks disappeared once again, the stage was set for the crash of 08 that got Obama elected. Okay? The difference between the Great Crash of 1929 and the crash of 08, which gave us current economic downturn, gave us the current economic downturn that got us Obama elected, is that the 08 meltdown was intentional, in my opinion. It was intentional. Big difference. Now, because of the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, and because banks are now permitted to engage in high-risk brokerage activities, including selling insurance, underwriting securities, they're hedging their risk through such strategies such as short selling and continuing to develop and trade extremely risky financial derivatives. So let me put it another way to you. We're being set up for an economic meltdown similar to the one that triggered the Great Depression. But this time is going to occur on a global scale, and it's unlikely that we'll be able to recover within even the next several decades once it happens. Glass-Steagall, look into it. It's in Trickle-Down Tyranny, pages 87 and 88. And I think it's an important point come this election, because the subtext for most people who vote on the Democrat side is a distrust of big business, a distrust of the banks, and they think that their savior is Bernie the commie. I'll go into that at another time. He's a politician. He's always been a politician. If you have faith in him, you're a fool. If you actually have faith that he's going to do something different than the others, you're crazy. You'll get more of the same. You'll get the same nonsense. You'll get the rhetoric every day. You'll get the rhetoric about the left, the LGBT world. That's all you hear. But he'll do nothing to the banks because they control the presidency. Okay? You'll get what you get. WDRC, Darrell, welcome to the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yeah, the 2008 economic collapse. A few years ago, I can't think of the gentleman's name right now, but he was part of Bush's cabinet. I think he was the Treasury Secretary from Goldman Sachs. And he was on British press about 3 years ago, a British publication saying that the 2008 economic collapse was a result of Russia.
Now, what does that mean? I don't understand what he was saying. He's passing the buck. It wasn't a result of Russia. It was engineered here in America to bring about Obama.
Well, if you remember in 2008,
All right, so what did Russia allegedly do to break our economy? Give it to us in one line or less.
They were trying to draw out huge amounts of money. If you remember, that was the reason why.
Okay, this is not well thought out. Sorry. You came in with a half idea about the evils of Russia. Let me repeat what I said before. The dangers of Cruz, in my opinion, the biggest danger of Cruz is he's a complete fool when it comes to Russia. Why does he make Russia such an enemy, Ted Cruz? Where does this come from? It's a holdover from the Reagan era, and the same neocons who were in power with Ronald Reagan are waiting in the wings in the think tanks who are feeding Ted Cruz the same rubbish about the dangers of the big bear. And instead of recognizing that Russia is our only and natural ally against ISIS, and it was Russia who finally started to bomb ISIS, that finally encouraged Obama to take a few more baby steps, Russia is our natural ally, and in that sense, that's what makes Trump a far better choice for the presidency, for world stability. Cruz is totally off base on Russia. He has no idea what he's talking about. He is listening to the same fools who got us into Iraq 1 and Iraq 2. The same old-timers who are in these think tanks waiting to come back to power in a Cruz administration are misadvising him on Russia. Has anyone told you that yet? No, you haven't heard it. Well, I'm telling it to you. That's the danger, and you have to understand where this is coming from. Go look into the think tanks that got us into the Iraq war and the Afghanistan war. And look at the neocons. They're basically policy advisors behind the scenes for Ted, old Ted. And I like the name Ted, as you well know. It's an important name to me. It's a friendly name. My dog Teddy. Ted. I like Ted. Everyone likes Ted. I never met a Ted I didn't like. And if he wins, I'm going to vote for him. But he's making a huge mistake. Will he win? Who knows? I don't know what's happening tomorrow. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. We hear that Trump's way ahead in New Hampshire. Trump polling ahead in New Hampshire. You want to go into the nitty-gritty of that one. In New Hampshire, which holds its primary next Tuesday, Trump is polling 33% of the vote, three times as much as Cruz and Governor Kasich, his closest competitor in the New England state, according to the latest Real Clear Politics average of national polls. In South Carolina, where evangelical voters also dominate the electorate, as they did in Iowa, Trump has captured 36% of the vote, 16 points higher than Cruz. Now go explain that one to me. How is it that you've got two evangelically dominant, two states where evangelicals are dominant, Iowa and South Carolina, while in South Carolina, he's way ahead? How is that possible? What's the difference then, boys and girls, between the evangelical vote in South Carolina and the evangelical vote in Iowa? What's the difference? There must be a difference. There has to be a difference. And again, let's go back to my primary theme. I told you every one of my shows, if possible, has a theme. I pioneered that a few months ago, actually a few years ago. I try to keep the entire 3 hours focused on a simple theme because every organism needs a spine. A theme is a spine of a conversation. And the theme of today's show is that Iowa is a Democrat state primarily, and it was Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus in Iowa who were dominating the discussion. Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus. Very interesting from my point of view. Maybe it's a little esoteric for the average audience. I don't know. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying most people don't want to get into the subtleties. For most people, it's a sporting event. It's this team versus that team. It's the A's versus the B's. It's John is a better batter than Bill. I'm in the favor of Bill. You're in the favor of John. Now let's go on to win the series against the B's. You know, okay, that's boring. How much can you talk about that? Right? I have two guys who work for me. Robert's in his 20s. He's a very intelligent young man. He knows what's going on in politics. He's also bored by this. He understands. You know, what he cares about is who's going to run against who at the end of the day. But if you think that for 9 months now I'm going to sit here analyzing the minutiae of every primary, you're mistaken. I'm not going to do it. I would rather put a gas pipe into my studio than do that. I'd rather take a pipe from the garage and my home studio and run it right into my studio, run a gas pipe in here, take a carbon monoxide poisoning, and call 911. Then, if someone said to me, Michael, you have to talk every day for 3 hours now, right until the election, about the minutiae of elections, I'd take the gas pipe over there. I can't do it. That's not me. You want someone else to do it, God bless them, go find it. I am not going to do it. See, I'm holding my fire. I really want to talk about the Zika virus, but you're not interested. You'd rather get it and have a disease than talk about it. No one wants to talk about anything. Again, the same thing. Trump, Cruz, Hillary, Bernie. Trump, Cruz, Hillary, Bernie. Trump, Cruz, Hillary, Bernie. Bernie, Hillary. Okay, so we won't talk about the Zika virus. We will not talk about anything. We're not allowed to talk about anything except the election. And the election in a small state with a small number of people that is skewed in one demographic ethnically and one demographic religiously. Here, U.S. airstrikes have destroyed the ISIS voice of the Caliphate radio station in Afghanistan. Now, why do you think the U.S. suddenly launched these airstrikes? Because Obama was forced to do so because of Putin. Everybody knows that. Putin is our natural ally against radical Islam. Why, what's his name? Cruz is against, what's his name? Why he hates Putin is clear to me, because he's being misadvised by the neocons who got us into Iraq twice and into Afghanistan. They're the same people who are stupid. These are lifetime policy wonks who live behind closed doors and pull the strings of candidates with dumb advice. And they're the ones telling him to hate Putin and make that a campaign speech. Here's another story. San Francisco Way's giving condoms to middle schoolers. I saw that yesterday. I almost fell out of my chair. I said, well, I sent it to my wife. I said, what? Condoms to middle schoolers in San Francisco? Without the parents' permission, by the way. That's how progressive they are in this city. A board committee is scheduled to discuss the proposal Monday. San Francisco Public School leaders, a bunch of degenerates, are considering distributing condoms at middle schools. That means the sixth grade. That means in the sixth grade, the kids are already having sex and they're going to give them condoms instead of telling them to abstain. That's the city I live in. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. When the teacher would bore me to the point where I was biting the hair off my forearms to stay awake, and I would fall asleep, I was so bored. That's what I feel like about these primaries and caucuses. They don't mean anything to me. And yet, obsession, day and night. A caucus and this one and that one, this means that this, and he moved ahead, and I mean, Rubio came up and he fell down, and Trump is second, and although Hillary won, she didn't really win, because it means that the communist from Brooklyn, although he eats pickles and sauerkraut, and he grew up on carbon dioxide and seltzer, and he's a total anti-American lout. Look how good he did amongst the evangelicals. It shows that they're not racist. They pick a lunatic like him. This is what they want to talk about day and night. And the big story here is that an article just came out. U.S. intelligence officials, as I said to you the other day, say the top secret emails Hillary Clinton kept in her private server named spies serving undercover overseas. A violation of federal law. The agents can now be killed if they haven't already been killed. And she's giving away a victory speech. That's all. Lives have been put at risk if they're not dead already. The spies are going to be killed because of Hillary's, you know, loose lips and all that. Sink ships. And she won already.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
My fear is that the Cuban experience has overly influenced Cruz, especially with regard to his distaste for Vladimir Putin of Russia. It's stupid. It makes no sense. He's living in the dark ages. He's listening to the neocons who got us into the Iraq wars. And he doesn't understand that the world has changed since Ronald Reagan was buried and that we're really not at war with Russia, nor do we have to be. They're our natural ally. It's insanity. That's his greatest weakness, by the way. And by the way, it's one of Trump's greatest strengths. Trump likes Putin. Trump recognizes that Russia is our natural ally against radical Islam. But apparently Cruz is listening to the neocons and thinks that Russia's the great enemy. Someone has analyzed why Trump lost Iowa, and it says because he crushed Ben Carson. He hit Ben hard, he questioned his integrity, questioned him as a doctor, And what happened is after he eviscerated Carson, Carson's poll numbers collapsed, Carson's campaign staff quit, his fundraising came to zero, and then the Carson voters did not go over to Trump, they switched to Cruz. And the analysis says that poll numbers show Cruz's dramatic rise right after the Carson collapse. And Newsmax goes on to say Trump effectively defeated Carson to elect Cruz. Had Carson remained higher in the polls, he would have become Cruz's target, and the pair would have divided the evangelical vote, paving the way for an easy Trump win. The lesson of Iowa is this, Reagan's 11th commandment. Reagan's directive said, thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican. They can disagree on policy matters, but personal attacks should be avoided at all costs. Never a personal attack on the other. And Donald Trump, because of his personal attacks on Ben Carson, this analysis says, cost him the vote in Iowa. So it remains to be seen what happens next and whether his strategy will change. And I can't even remember their names anymore. I'm so bored of this. I'm not going to do it. I have to stop. Well, let's take a few more calls, and I'm shifting to the Zika virus. I can't take another minute of this. This is so not interesting to me. This is like analyzing it. This is for a policy wonk who eats bad meals and gets excited at these conventions, goes to these things. You know the people who go to these conventions, what they're like? The party apparatchiks of the type that go to these events. They're different than you and I. And I don't know that this is all there is to talk about in the universe right now. Is there nothing else that interests you? Okay, let's go to the callers. Rick on WABC. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Rick?
What's on my mind? The reason Cruz or Rubio hates Russia is they're Cuban. They've been brought up with that since age two by their parents and grandparents. If Russia were to cure the Zika virus, cancer, and destroy all their nuclear weapons tomorrow, Cruz and Rubio would still hate Russia.
That is brilliant. How did you figure, Rick, how did you come to this conclusion? It's genius.
You know, I'm part Cuban. I called you about Castro about 3 months ago.
You don't have a Cuban American accent. You have like a real Delhi accent from New York.
I speak a little Spanish. My father was born in Cuba. He went to law school with
us. No, but I like the way you say my father. You have a real New York accent.
From Brooklyn, what can I tell you? I live
Brooklyn. No, but you're brilliant. What insight? See, you're like me. People think that because you sound like that you're not smart. You don't sound like you went to Wharton or that you went to, you know, Harvard. But you actually know how to think. That probably does explain their enmity towards Putin and Russia. It's stupid. It doesn't apply to now.
Yeah, but he will say it the same as Mr. Cruz has. You know, that's the way the Cubans, you know, it's funny because Cubans have had this, you know, for 100 years. But like in the Middle East, they've been fighting for thousands of years. And the Cubans are more hateful in certain respects when it comes to Russia than the Arabs and the Jews.
That's all right, so that explains why Cruz has the stupidity to hate Russia and make that a campaign issue.
Very simple. They, you know.
No, I don't know. No one ever said that. I thought it was probably because he was being misadvised by the neocons in these little think tanks in Washington, in the Beltway, who, you know, still advising him like Ronald Reagan's still alive.
Yeah,
it's probably a little bit of that. The old-timers who have half-timers, the old-timers with half-timers are still advising him that Russia is our great enemy, not radical Islam.
That's right, and it could even be his grandmother, his cousins, his uncles, you know.
Yeah, well, somebody ought to say to him, Russia is our natural ally, Ted, not our enemy. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Most Americans, by the way, respect Putin, and this is going to cost Cruz a tremendous amount of support if he keeps this up. It's one of the reasons Donald makes more sense. He knows reality. I don't think these other guys know reality as well as he does. That's why I backed Trump. I think Trump is ultimately a realist. The others aren't. They're sort of academics. Not sort of, they are academics. They're academic politicians is what they are. All right, look, we can do this from today until tomorrow. Our opinions don't really matter to the candidates because they don't listen to us. Do you really think they listen to us?
always
gone. He's still there. Do you think they actually listen to us, Rick?
No, none of them. I think Trump is listening to us, but that's about it.
All right, so I'm going to give you a test. How would you define yourself politically? What would you say you are politically?
I'm a registered independent. Most of the time I vote Republican, but I voted for Democrats, too. So, in the middle.
Well, which Democrats could possibly appeal to you?
The ones today. Nobody. But on local levels and sometimes...
So you're talking about another era when there were conservative Democrats.
Yes, there's none of them anymore. They've all been thrown out and taken to the woodshed, basically.
But look what they did to the one Democrat candidate who had a true love for America, the former Navy Secretary Jim Webb. Look what they did to him.
They basically threw him out, basically.
All right, you're from New York. Who's Bernie Sanders to you? When you look at Bernie Sanders, who do you see?
I see the guy that I used to buy pastrami sandwiches for him in Brooklyn, is what I see.
All right, a nice guy who was filled with anti-American attitudes because of something that happened to his grandmother.
Yes, exactly.
And he espoused Bolshevik philosophy with the corned beef.
And in New York, that place. Well, I don't have to tell you, but in New York, that place.
What, in that deli I mentioned?
Yes.
By the way, I went to that deli the last time I was in New York. There's not one person of that original ethnic group left in that deli. They're all from Puerto Rico.
Yes. They're all Hispanic, yes.
They're nice guys, but the old Jewish guys all died from their own food.
Yeah, well, if you eat enough of that food, I guess you die.
Are you kidding? That food knocked out of the whole generation. No one lived past 52. Anyone who ate that food regularly died at 50, 51 if they hit that far. That's after two heart attacks.
But it's delicious.
Oh, my God. The French fries the size of an infant's arm. All right, my friend. Thanks for playing ball with me on the Savage Nation. Let's see. What do we have left here? All right. WJR, Jim, go ahead. What's on your mind, Jim?
Hey, Savage, it's an honor. I just wanted to say, as far as Putin is concerned, I wish we had a leader that promoted having a backbone.
All right, so why do you think Ted Cruz makes hating Putin part of his campaign?
I almost feel like it's like almost trying to just get America back to the Cold War mentality.
Now, do you think we need that? Do you think that's what we need? I don't.
Hell no. Sorry to use a colorful metaphor, but...
No, that's okay. I don't think so. Let's go to the next caller on the Savage Nation. WJR, Bob, what's on your mind?
Hello, I'm calling about the Bible passage you quoted.
Yes.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yes.
Okay, they were always trying to trap Jesus, like they're asking him, should we pay our taxes to the Romans? They hated the Romans. And they're expecting him to say, no, don't do that. But what he says is, okay, pull the money out. Whose picture's on it? It's Caesar's picture. He says, okay, give it to Caesar. He says, so basically what he's saying is give Caesar all your money back so that you don't.
Well, they were trying, they had malice towards Jesus. And they said to him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus was smart and he was aware of the tricks. So he said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. So they bring him a denarius, the ancient Roman coin. And so Jesus says to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar. So Jesus says, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. What does that actually mean today?
What it would mean today is, like, don't just keep your own mind clear of what's going on and don't get bogged down in all these games that they're playing.
All right, that's one way to look at it. Thank you. He was separating church from state, actually. Jesus separated church from state. He didn't say they were one and the same. He said there's a state and then there's God. They're not one and the same thing. Now, unfortunately, in Iowa, they were blended together. And that I took umbrage with that, to be very honest with you. KSFO, Michael, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm a gay man. And 2 weeks ago, I was in San Francisco on the corner of Market and Divisadero in my car eating noodles, and I was out there getting pictures developed. And I'd like to say that I do support Donald Trump because he's the only one that I think that can protect us above anyone else. And this is the reason why. As I was sitting there eating my noodles, this, and I'm a gay man, so I'm not being prejudiced, this so-called gay man was walking by me, totally nude, with only a sock on his you-know-what. There was a young baby, about maybe 2 years old, looked like an angel, and her mother was beside her. Now, I'm not going to kill this man for doing what he did and walking by this this child nude, exercising his so-called gay rights. But
wait, how do you know? How do you know the nude man was gay?
Hello?
How do you know the nude man was gay?
I know. That's what I expected someone to say. I can't convince
you. I'm really not following you. How would you know a naked man is gay? Did he say he was?
I'll put it this way. I'm a registered nurse for 25 years. I'm not dumb as a bar of soap. I've been gay all my life. And this man, I mean, a lot of people would say, oh, you can't say he's gay because he could be mentally ill. He could be straight. And mentally ill too. This man was
not. All right, what you're saying is it doesn't matter what his sexuality was. The you were offended by a naked man walking by in the city streets of San Francisco. Isn't that the essence of it?
Well, I was offended, and I'm a gay man. And from a medical point of view, I wouldn't want to eat my noodles anywhere else because I'm afraid of where else he would be sitting down where I would sit down.
Oh, I see. You were eating in the car. No, San Francisco is a toxic bombshell waiting to explode. There's a lax public health. There's no public health maintenance in the city. The hygiene is in the garbage. You've got people urinating, defecating in the streets. I'm sorry, it's ugly. It's ugly, and it's because of a breakdown fundamentally of the city's structure. So what is your main point politically, though, Michael? What's your main point?
Yeah, my main point is this, Michael, is that this man should be prosecuted, but because he's not being prosecuted because he's exercising his gay rights. Nancy Pelosi would not go after this man and prosecute him because she's afraid of the backlash from the human rights, so-called gay, whatever, whatever.
Did you call her Nasty Pelosi?
Well, my point is this. My final point, Michael, is that I'm not going to kill this man that did that, but ISIS will. And
all right, I hear what you're saying. I think what you're saying is, as a gay man, you're frightened of ISIS, as you should be. And your candidate, the strongest candidate in your mind is who? I don't want to put words in your mouth. Who in your mind can actually defeat ISIS and keep them off America's streets most effectively? Which candidate?
Donald Trump.
All right, well, that's what I've been saying. I don't think this is the first time you've listened to my show, is it?
I listen to you occasionally, and I agree with you about 99.9% of the time.
I like that. I like that very much. That's very sweet of you. Thanks. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
God bless the great state of Iowa.
Yeah.
Let me first of all say, to God be the glory.
I'm sorry. I can't do it. Even Jesus separated church from state. You want to hear this for the next 9 months now? Where will you want to live in a theocracy? Maybe you'd like a theocracy in America. Maybe that would please you. We could then be like Iran. Maybe you'd be very happy then if we became like Iran, a theocratic state. All right, look, this is just the beginning. And Cruz will never beat Hillary. I'll vote for him if he wins. He'll never beat Hillary in a general election. Never. If the Republican Party picks him a Rubio, it's over. She will win. And that's the mistake they're making. They don't want Trump at all costs. They don't want Trump at all costs. No matter what you may think, he is not part of the establishment. They hate him. That's why Fox is against him. That's why Michael Moore is against him. That is why the so-called conservatives are against him, because they're establishmentarians. The establishmentarians hate Trump. I don't think you understand that. But let me again say to you, I would vote for any Republican who wins the primary. Today we're talking about Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus in Iowa. That's the essence of what we're talking about. Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus in Iowa. News, California Highway Patrol officer was stabbed in the neck and other places in San Francisco by a homeless, filthy bum living under a freeway ramp. You progressives just stabbed a cop in the neck. You should be proud of yourself. You should be real proud of yourself. Essex and Harrison Street, bum under the ramp, stabs him in the neck, and rushed to the hospital. That's all. That's because you've encouraged them. Yeah, he was taken into custody. Yeah, sure. Taken into custody. A mile from the festivities taking place at Super Bowl City. A large knife in a black backpack was seen on the ground in the parking lot behind police tape. You see, this is where the bums live. They live under a freeway because of the city's policies. And the cops went in there to clean it up a little bit, and they stabbed the cop in the neck and in the arm. And he'll be fine, though. Maybe Obama can invite the homeless bum who stabbed the cop into the White House, or he can give him an award, or perhaps he can get to meet Al Sharpton. It's even possible that he could be made an honorary attorney general for a day. After all, this is the official policy. This is the day after Loretta Lynch of the Attorney General's office announced that they're going to start investigating the SFPD for doing too good a job. You hear this? On minorities. All of the innocent minorities, they're arrested. They're arrested only because of their race, not because they committed a crime, according to Loretta Lynch. And they won't identify the stabber, by the way. No pictures. There are 500 pictures in the local paper. Not one of the stabber. Not one. It doesn't meet the, let us say, the protocols of the newspaper. What else do we have in the news? Sarah Palin interview again. She was seen scurrying out of Iowa after the loss, fleeing back to Alaska. I don't know who she's blaming for that one. I thought it was a mistake for him to pick her, by the way. I thought it was an error. But, there's a whole, you could analyze it 100 different ways. Others say by attacking Ben Carson, he drove the Carson voters into the Rubio camp, not into his, there's a lot of reasons. He made a couple of mistakes. There's no question about it. But again, it's an anomaly. It's not the whole country. It's different than most of the country in so many ways that I don't have to analyze it over and over and over again. But I really am tired of the Bible involved in the election. Keep the Bible to yourself. Now, someone said to me, but you mentioned the Bible on the show. Yeah, but I'm not a politician. I'm not running for office. If I read the Bible, it's because it fits some part of the show. It's not to win a vote. When you go into an evangelical state waving a Bible, don't tell me that's not cynical. It's very cynical. And it's making me a little nervous, by the way. A lot nervous. KSFO, Dana, how do you feel about that? About the Bible and the religion being waved around in Iowa.
Why Cruz is hating on Russia because of end times, and says in Ezekiel and Revelation that Gog's going to come down and fight against Israel in the last war, and it says something about the bear, and we're not even mentioned in the United States. Kind of like,
so you think what you think Cruz is simply referring to Gog and Magog in the Bible? And that's what he's basing his politics on?
That's part of it. Part of it.
Oh, God, we're really in trouble. Oh, are we really in trouble? If he's referring to the Old Testament for his policy decisions, we're in bigger trouble than I think. I thought it was based on the neocon advisors in the think tanks, not on Gog and Magog.
A lot of evangelical Christians believe that Putin is actually the Antichrist.
Oh, my
God. If he's in that camp...
He's the Antichrist, then how come he's the ones taking on ISIS? How does that work?
Because he's supposed to be trickery, and he'll be...
Oh, everything's a trick. Everything's a trick. You know, that borders on the way that the fundamentalist Muslims look at the world, by the way. You know, this is what worries me. This is extremely worrisome that the radical Islamists want to bring about a world war and they want to bring about Armageddon because they believe that only upon the destruction of the world will the Mahdi return, the M-E-H-D-I, and bring about peace on earth. It's a similar fable to that the fundamentalist Christians believe. You do know that, don't you?
No, I didn't.
Well, okay, I mean, at the risk of offending 90% of my audience, I have to tell you it's quite worrisome to see an overlap in the fanatical beliefs of both extremist groups at the risk of my audience. You know, but I got to go bare to the wall here, you know. Pedal to the metal here. I am so sick and tired. You know what the problem is that you want me to say to you what you think I should be saying to you, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say what I think needs to be said. I don't like politics. I don't like religion and politics. I never did. I don't like a theocracy. I don't want to live in a religious state. I like my nation. I like it real well. I like being left alone. I don't want to have a religion forced down my throat every 2 minutes with hail this and praise God and every 2 seconds. It gives me the shudders. You know, I go on my Facebook page. You should see the hatred from the so-called nice religious people because I don't go along with the program. All right, you raised the very interesting. I didn't know that that's part of the reason. I'm not going to just go along with the program here. Let's see. Cruz, Carson, Republicans, Democrats, Trump coming in second. Now they don't like me because I talked about religion yesterday. Now I'm not a real conservative anymore. Oh, how dare you? You're a Berkeley-educated Marin County liberal with a toy dog. That's bad? I mean, earning a PhD from Berkeley is bad. Living in Marin County is evil. Having a toy poodle is makes me a bad person. What, do you want me to have an attack dog like a homeless person? What's wrong with you idiots? How can you think that way? I'm not listening to you. I'm dropping a show. How dare you? How dare you attack Cruz on the Bible? You're a phony. You're a Berkeley-educated Marin County liberal with a toy dog. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. My friend, if that's what you base your decisions on, then you are in serious trouble. You're very seriously sick. Listening after 10 years, I'm never listening again. I was left on hold for 20 minutes before the show went off, and he insults my call screener. They're a man at my call screen. Not everyone gets on a radio show just because you call. Okay, they're mad at me because I have a PhD from Berkeley that I earn, and that I live in a nice area, and that I have a toy dog. That suddenly makes me someone to not be trusted. What a sick, sick world I live in. People are so mean. What a mean-spirited group of people are out there. They have no brains, and they make decisions based upon stereotypes. They don't like my dog. What kind of dog is the conservative supposed to have? Robin, is there a litmus test now for conservatives? Like an authentic conservative does not have a toy poodle? What should I do? Euthanize Teddy because it doesn't meet your views of a conservative dog? You moron, you? What should I get? An attack dog? Maybe I should get a working dog that pulls a cart. That would be a conservative dog. Some mastiff that pulls a cart somewhere in the Alps. You know, that would make you feel I'm a real conservative because I'm a mastiff. No, I like a toy poodle. He's a nice guy. Nice dog. I don't even know my dog's politics nor his religion. To be honest with you, it's one of the reasons I like my dog. Because I don't think he has politics nor a religion. To be frank, it's a relief to not have to even think about it. And I am nursing him back to health, so be nice to him, for God's sakes. He had his teeth removed. Okay, where shall we go here? Shall I read from the Bible for the next 30 minutes to please you? I can do that. Maybe I should just appease the real conservatives out there, the Bible thumpers. I can start with Genesis, page 1, to show that I'm authentic. So I can start with, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. See, that's my Bible. It's right here. With 500 to 1,000 post-its in it. I don't need you to tell me what I believe. I don't need you to ask me whether I believe in God. I don't think there's a litmus test for talk radio. If you want somebody more fanatical, I'm sure you could find it. Every day of the week, there's plenty of fanatics. There's many Christian stations you can listen to. Now, what I don't mean a litmus test because I live in Marin County and I have a PhD from Berkeley and I have a toy poodle. You know how stupid the conservatives are becoming? All I said was Cruz is a fool for hating Russia. It's the stupidest policy position of all that he has. How in the world can he hope to be elected when Putin has such a high popularity in America because of what he's done against ISIS? Who was advising Cruz is all I said. And my answer was the neocons who got us into the Iraq war twice. The very same, I can name them. They're locked out of the political structure. They're in these little old think tanks in Washington. They make bad money. They're not invited anywhere. They're not even invited to the National Review to give speeches anymore. They're out of it. And they're hoping that if Cruz wins, some of they'll have policy positions again in the Cruz administration. So they're telling him to attack Russia. They think that Ronald Reagan's alive again and that we're at war with Russia. Then a caller says, no, that's not it. It's because he's Cuban. And Cubans have a distrust of Russia because of the communism. I said, wow, that's rigid thinking. Maybe you should live in the present world. I was surprised that Trump liked Putin so much, incidentally. I was very pleasantly surprised at that because it makes good sense to me. I'm a pragmatist. Why should I hate Russia? Tell me why I should copy Barack Obama's insane hatred of Putin. Tell me why I should follow that stupidity. So now you're telling me that Cruz is smart because he agrees with Obama in hating Russia and possibly triggering a world war? That makes good sense. That's just what we need. Elect somebody who's going to go to war with Russia in Europe. That's tremendously smart. Where is this strain of idiocy coming from in the so-called conservative movement? Who is feeding this to him? And Rubio has the same, doesn't he? Is Rubio another Putin hater? Wow, what idiots. What idiots are out there? They're our natural ally against radical Islam. Putin is loved in America. He's loved more so than Rubio and Cruz put together, incidentally. I'm sorry to break the news to you. Yes, but I'll pass the litmus test. If either of them win, I will vote for them over any Democrat. How's that? Does that work for you? You feel better now? Must I worship them at the same time? Must I also worship them? Okay. Let's go to the calls on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Here's a caller from Dallas, KLIF, my new affiliate. It's actually my new old affiliate. I was on KLIF for years. Terry on KLIF. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm a radical Christian, and I'm disgusted by the fact that somebody would use the Lord, and they would use that to try to gain points in an election. And that, to me, tells me that Ted has no fear of God whatsoever.
All right, so here's the issue. Why am I being attacked on Facebook by Christians who say that I have no right to attack Cruz because of his use of religion? I found it offensive.
You know what? I think they're just like they're Cruz bots. I mean, they don't want to hear anything that comes against them in any way.
But you agree that if he is the nominee, you'd vote for him, right?
I would, but I'm more reluctant now than I've ever been. I mean, it's like the more I hear him talk, the less I like about him.
Wow. That's amazing. So his overly disingenuous use of religion is bothering you.
You know what? Anybody, I mean, I heard him today and he said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. And his fruit is that he's been a lawyer and a career politician all his life. So if he wants to quote the Bible, there's a verse that he needs to look in the mirror at himself at.
Well, I didn't like this God thing today. Again, listen to clip 12. Did you hear that one of his victory speech? Let's hear clip 12 on the Savage Nation.
God bless the great state of Iowa.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, hold on. As a devout Christian, do you find that believable?
You know what? He sounds like a televangelist. Just using God to line his pockets.
Why is it for the first time today I feel sound and sane? I feel like after an hour and 45 minutes on the radio, I've arrived somewhere in the promised land that there's someone sane out there. You cannot believe the hatred on my Facebook page from people who are attacking where I live, where I earned my PhD, even my dog telling I'm not a conservative because I have a poodle. Did you hear this?
Yes. Hey, Mike, did you tell you my dream?
yet. Oh, sure. I'd like to hear a dream, anything but politics.
It's not a real dream. This is a dream that I have. I would love to be in a coffee shop and just be in the background and hear you and Trump talk for about an hour. That, to me, would be like the ultimate experience. You know what? I love him for the same reason I love you. You know, you're both strong men, and I thank you for your show.
That is so beautiful. Thank you. So there's a sane man out there who's religious. Okay, look, here's my point. I'd like a separation of church and state. It's as simple as that. Please leave religion out of politics. Can we just agree on that? Can we not have any more of this religion in the political race just for a few more months? Or must every time they run now pound the Bible? You know, I objected to when Clinton marched around with that overly large Bible given to him by the Hollywood people. They made him a Bible double size with a double cross. That's interesting, the double cross. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. All right, here are the topics I'm going to be talking about in the next hour. Koch Brothers Network ready to oppose Trump. I mean, we're told by the media that the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, are conservatives, but they're opposing Trump. Gee, I wonder which side they're on. Iran warns U.S. We have even more embarrassing footage of your captured sailors. These are the friends of Obama and John Kerry and Hillary Clinton. Sexually transmitted case of Zika virus reported in Dallas County. Sexually transmitted? The unnamed patient reported had sexual contact with another individual who recently returned from a country where the Zika virus is present. So, now that we know that Zika can be transmitted through sex, tell us what we should do, CDC. Well, nothing. Let's do nothing. Let's do nothing because we're all politicians. Zika virus joins list of diseases brought by illegals. Just remember who wrote Immigrants and Epidemics. Just remember who was so angered by what was going on 21 years ago that he went into talk radio because of the censorship of the subject of immigrants and epidemics. It was yours truly, Michael Savage. I tried to publish a book called Immigrants and Epidemics after I had had a successful career writing other health books, along with the dean of the School of Public Health at one of the biggest public health universities or schools in the country. And New York publishers said we won't touch it because it's a political minefield. And now we have the Zika virus. Oh, really? Diseases Without Borders, published by Michael Savage, out next week.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right. So, look, people are arguing over the Iowa caucuses. You've heard us talk about it for two straight hours. As you could tell, I'm a little bored of it. But it would be idiotic not to talk about it. I mean, that's all anyone wants to talk about. You're not ready to talk about more fundamentally important issues like the Zika virus joining the list of immigrants and epidemics, nor all of the other news of the day. So we'll continue to talk about it. And people are commenting on my Facebook page in very interesting ways. Some of them are just fakers and haters. Here's one, for example, okay? Let's see. Linda Spindler-Hornberger writes, I don't know how anyone could support Cruz after his team was telling voters that Carson is quitting the election and they should vote for him. He's a hypocrite and a liar. He's a typical politician that can't be trusted. That's a fact of reality. In fact, Cruz admitted he did that. So what do you want me to do, change reality now because he won? Isn't it true, Robert? Didn't he admit that he did that? That he undermined Carson on purpose, then he made believe he didn't? Here's another one from Glenda Wellsworth. Wow, just found out that Ted Cruz's inner circle is stacked with neocon Bush people with connections to all the big banks and Council on Foreign Relations. Nothing changes if nothing changes, Trump 2016. So many of you are going to go on and hope that Trump wins in New Hampshire and all the other primary states. And we'll see what happens. And those of you who don't want Trump to win will continue to bash him. But I truly believe it's the neocons who are supporting Cruz's, and Rubio, by the way, visceral hatred for Putin and Russia. They have no idea what they're talking about. Why is Trump able to stand aside from this stupid advice and say Russia is our natural ally against radical Islam? How come he understands this? Now, you don't want me to talk about the Zika virus, but I'll do it tomorrow or the next day. You want me to continue talking about this? Fine. I could talk about movies better. What would you like to talk about? Because here's a question I want to talk about. Leave these lines open because I think this is the germ of the essence, the wheat germ of today's show. Why does a politician's religion matter to you? This is an important question because religion has become such a big deal in the Caucasian caucus that I think we have to talk about. It didn't matter to the communists on the Democrat side. You know Bernie Sanders is not religious. He's an atheist, given that all communists are. You know Hillary Clinton has no religion. That's a given. And we then were talking about Marx, Jefferson, and Jesus in Iowa. It's an important story because I remember agrarian socialism as a topic in high school, if you can imagine. Would you imagine? Can you imagine in Jamaica High School in New York City, I read about agrarian socialism? Now, what that means is the farmers were basically socialist in their politics in the Midwest. And they have been for a long time for many good reasons. They came through the Great Depression. They came through the Dust Bowl. They didn't trust the big banks. They didn't trust big business. And so they became socialist. And so agrarian socialism in Iowa would explain why Bernie Sanders was so popular. And I thought that's an important point to be made. But since you haven't read it anywhere, I guess you're not ready to talk about agrarian socialism. In the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, in ways conditioned by Iowa history, it happened. In the 1930s, Iowa farmers joined the radical movement. It was a group of their own creation led by an Iowan, Muo Reno. You don't even know this history, I do. Iowa socialism has been there in the agricultural world. Agrarian socialism. So it is an anomaly in some ways. And that's why it's talking important. But what happened yesterday, the big story is that Bernie Sanders proves that he can win the election. Because he probably beat Hillary. If she won by a coin toss, it was stacked against him. And I hope to God he wins the primary so that he goes up against Trump. And that America decide once and for all what future it really wants. Does it want to join the past and become a new USSR? Because that's what we'll become. We will descend so rapidly into the dark ages of the USSR, you won't even know what hit you. And that's the choice you're going to have. I'd like to see it as a clear choice so we could finally put this to rest already. You know, I don't believe America's ready for socialism. In fact, I know it's not true. I know that most immigrants don't want socialism because they fled socialism. I'm not talking about the bums who come here to do nothing. I watched the Hispanics working on construction sites, and every one of them is a diehard capitalist. They love to buy a brand new pickup truck. They love to save enough money to buy a small house wherever they can to start a family, foundation here in the Bay Area. I see it with my own eyes. I don't need anyone to tell me anything. I don't need to read a poll to see reality. They're naturally capitalistic. They're going to go for Trump. They're not going to go for a socialist like Sanders. They look at him and laugh. He's not only not an alpha male, Sanders is a beta male. Not even a beta male, he's a delta male. Sanders is a delta male from the get-go. I love when he talked about winning track meet. Suddenly he became macho now. Already after about track meet, Bernie Sanders in a track suit. You talk about a yuck factor. That's like Bob Dole on a treadmill in an undershirt. That cost him the election. Maybe someone will advise Sanders to appear in an undershirt, in a muscle shirt. Maybe that would help him win the election. Maybe the millennials will go for grandpa. So the issue is religion. Why does a politician's religion matter to you? It doesn't matter to me. Well, it doesn't matter to me. Let me think about it. Does it matter to me? I wouldn't vote for a Muslim, to be honest with you. Not at this time. I would not do it. Why do I say a thing like that? Because too many Muslims have committed too many terrorist acts, and too many people use Islam as a weapon against us. And I'm not going to cater to them just because I'm supposed to. Aside from that, I don't care what anyone's religion is. I just rather they keep it to themselves. What about their sexual orientation? Does that matter to you? It should. It really should matter to you. I think we need somebody who's married with family to be president, so maybe we can have morality back in America. You know, are we allowed to talk about that? One thing I didn't hear in this election, we heard a lot about Jesus, but we didn't hear a lot about values. It's easy to say Jesus and thump the Bible and say God, but not say anything about pornography and drugs. You want to talk about cynicism and liars. You can speak generically all you want about God and the Bible, but then say nothing about the realities of what that means. What does it actually mean? It means what? You want family values back? You're hinting that you're Ronald Reagan all over again? Well, then good. Go to the next step and say, when I'm president, I'm going to outlaw pornography. It's not going to become the plague and scourge that it is in America. The pornographers will be put out of business. The drug peddlers will be put in prison for life. Nobody will sell drugs in America again. You know how many times I turn on National Geographic and it's called Drugs, Inc., and they're showing drug dealers openly trading in one city or another like it's a lifestyle or a choice? Do you realize how far we have fallen in the nation because there is no values-oriented candidate? Whatever happened to family values? Where did that go in the debate? It wasn't even discussed. So, you know, it's easy to thump the Bible and say God 1,000 times and may the body of Christ be with you. But what does it actually mean politically? Unless it has some meaning politically, it has no meaning at all, as far as I'm concerned. It's just for show. So I've answered my own question. Now, if you want to answer the question, go ahead. That's fine. The phone number, and I'll give it out, is 855-400-SAVAGE. Facebook is .com, Michael Savage. And people are sending in a lot of stuff on Facebook. And they're making comments. Some of them are rational. Some of them are horrible. And some people don't make sense at all. Ethanol subsidies now. Trump should have done the Fox debate. By not being there, he gave Rubio and Cruz the chance to shine. Why does Ted Cruz's flame campaign sticker symbol remind me of the symbol of Islam? You know, people make statements up that don't make any sense. Now they say that I sound like I'm complaining because Ted Cruz is the winner. My friends, I said I would vote for Ted Cruz if he is the nominee. I don't happen to like him. Do you understand that? I don't trust him at all. I think he's a Machiavellian phony through and through. But he's less of a Machiavellian phony than Hillary Clinton. How's that? He's the lesser of two evils. Do I have to worship him in order to say I'll vote for him? Well, I won't worship him because I don't worship men. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Remember that one? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. WJR Rick, why does religion in politics matter to you?
Nice to be on today. And you've said it all already. It matters to me what somebody believes. You know, when 9/11 came down, even Rudy Giuliani appealed to the nation to pray for America. That's the kind of spiritual leadership I want. I'm not asking for a guy to have a weird view of the Book of Revelation and we're headed toward Armageddon, and that guides his thinking process and making decisions. But just to have a sense about it, you know, Obama says sometimes about the shared values of all religions. Well, that's a bunch of bunk, except for, unless he means, and I don't think he does, but there is a shared value in the Ten Commandments. The basic
There is no shared values in all religions. That's utter nonsense. It shows ignorance of religion. There are no shared values in all religions. That's absurd. Well, what are the shared values in Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam? What are the shared values? Christianity teaches a number of things that are wonderfully loving. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, turn the other cheek. That's not in Islam, is it?
No, but I'm not defending Obama, not defending him at all. But there are some values that most people, whether they're religious or not, share, and that is thou shalt not steal, lie, covet, adultery, and so on. Those are values that just moral people share. And it does matter to me if the president embodies, you know, those values in his heart and his mind.
You're saying generically, you mean a president, you don't mean Obama.
I'm sorry?
I get it. You're saying that's why you think religion matters in a politician. You need to know where they're coming from. That's what you're saying. Okay, I got it. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600.
On Talk 560 KSFO.
Talking about why does a politician's religious, let us say, orientation matter to you? It's an interesting discussion in a certain way. And there are other headlines. The former district attorney who said that he would not prosecute Bill Cosby says that the New Deal may allow Cosby to walk. The former DA who declined a decade ago to bring sex crime charges against Bill Cosby testifies that he believes his decision prohibits his successors from ever prosecuting the comedian. Number two, campus segregation. University of Connecticut's Blacks Only Living Space plan sparks outcry. How does that work to create segregation and call it an advancement? Can anyone explain this to me, how insane the country's becoming? Black Only Living Space? It's racism. First U.S. Zika case transmission reported in Texas, sexually transmitted. We've talked about that. It's a big deal. Billions recovered from Madoff's victims. Remember that one? San Francisco Way is giving condoms to middle schoolers in the sixth grade without parental permission. Huge stories. And here's one coming up from the background that's going to be a huge story in the very, very near future. And remember where you heard it first. France is about to consider recognition of a Palestinian state, whether Israel wants to go along with it or not. That's going to be a huge, huge development and a huge story. Now let's go back to Religion Incorporated on the Savage Nation. KSFO, Ken, your point, please.
I was basically just trying to weigh in on the atheist perspective on a politician's religion. And as an atheist myself, I'm asking the question, would an atheist not be better suited, because we understand that once you're dead, it's over. There's no coming back. So we want to try to govern from a position that says, a position that basically says that there's no coming back from death, and that we should try to avoid things like war, and we don't want to preach to people. We basically understand that once you're done, and we try to operate more cautiously than someone who believes they could live on for eternity would.
I never heard anybody describe it that way. It's very, very pleasant to listen to you. I'm not an atheist myself, but it's interesting. My father was an atheist. He had the same views you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it makes you a better politician if you don't believe in the hereafter or you don't believe in God. Not all religious people believe, by the way, that you come back from the dead. I don't know if you know that. There are people who are religious who don't believe you come back from the dead.
Well, not back from the dead, but that once you're dead, it's over. So you want to try to make your life here on earth as pleasant for yourself and everybody else as possible.
I notice you're using the word called pleasant.
Well, yeah, because
I don't blame you. I'd like to have a pleasant day every day, but I wake up and I see madness in the world. We have enemies who are not going to let us have a pleasant day every day. You know that, Ken.
Yeah, I stick out from my fellow atheists in the sense that I'm not as left as a lot of them are. They're concerned with Christians in America. I'm concerned with Muslims flooding Europe. Have you seen those videos in Europe?
Yeah, I talked about it quite often. Oh, yeah. I don't know how you atheists don't see that. They're focused on the wrong group. The Christians are their best allies, not their enemies.
Oh, yeah. No, if it comes down to it, I think the atheists should always side with the American Christians, because at least we're not, they're not the ones that are cutting people's heads off. at least.
Well, you're a rational person. You're a rational person. Now, you know, Clinton won Iowa, but she really didn't win. It was a coin toss, so they gave it to her. How do you feel about that? Are you a Democrat?
I am a liberal, but I'm not a leftist. I prefer Bernie Sanders because he speaks for the people. He may be more left and more socialist, but at least he's not a liar like Hillary Clinton. At least he's not.
So wait, so why do you listen to this show? This is not the first time you've heard Michael Savage on KSFO, is it?
No, I've listened to you growing up. I enjoy the balanced perspective. And when I say that I'm a liberal and not a leftist, I mean liberal in the sense that I try to stay in the middle as possible. Liberal in the founding father's sense of the word.
Very, very interesting. So you're a hard to define man, which would make you an enemy of all sides. I like that. If you're hated by both sides, it must mean that you're sane and balanced. Well, welcome to the Savage Nation, the home of the true independent. Huge number of federal employees may quit if Trump wins. Oh, if only that happened. If only that happened. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation. So tomorrow, Obama's going to commit another horrible act. He's going to conduct a media stunt, making believe he's promoting religious tolerance. He's ignoring evidence from law enforcement, warning him that the Baltimore mosque he plans to visit tomorrow, under the guise of religious tolerance, has a long history of ties to terrorism. According to Steve Emerson, there's evidence tied to terrorism. And the FBI told him that. According to Steve Emerson, federal law enforcement told him they were asked about whether the Baltimore mosque had engaged in radical politics or was connected in any way to terrorism in the past, and Obama ignored them. He will still go there, and he will make believe that they're clean as the driven snow. So why is he doing this? Why is he dismissing the radical statements made by the mosque community, that mosque, rather, the leaders of this over the years? What is this media stunt all about? You can read more about it on WorldNet Daily. Obama ignores evidence of Baltimore mosque's ties to terror by Leo Homan. He's a great writer, by the way. This guy really does his work. I've enjoyed his writing for a long time now. You have to read this. Dr. Mark Christian grew up in a prominent Muslim family in Egypt and converted to Christianity as an adult. And he is explaining exactly who this mosque leadership, who these mosque leaders are. So it's a big story. It'll come up tomorrow. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. An imam at the ISNA-affiliated mosque that he's going to, believe me, there's a lot of fire underneath the surface. Obama ignores evidence of Baltimore mosque's ties to terror. Yeah, okay. We know he's a sympathizer of certain elements of Islam. We know he's sympathetic, if not a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, according to every intelligence officer who's there to speak out. And we should be talking about this. But we're not. We're talking about Cruz and Trump and Rubio and Bernie and all of that. I think it's much more important to face that we're not facing reality here. Okay, so I think my question was good, is why does politicians' religion matter to you? I think that's a great question. And I believe that the callers are terrific on this subject. Who's the best caller there before we go on to something else? You know, anyone could say they're religious. See, this is the thing I don't like about it. I mean, what good does it say if you're religious? What does that mean? I give you an example. Some days before a show, I will pray to God. Ask the guys who work for me if I'm making it up. They see me on Skype. There are days that I reach up to the sky, and I put my hands up, and I say, God, give me the strength to get through the next 3 hours and do an honest job and not make a tell a lie. Ask him if I haven't done it. I don't do it every day, though. Maybe I should have done it today. I'd have more energy now if I did. I find that when I do that, I have more energy. How do you like that? The higher power. Now, many religions and have talked about reaching and tapping into this higher power, incidentally. See, religious people, there are varieties of everything, varieties of religious people. There are people in religion who understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And it's not solely about knee-jerk religion, knee-jerk religious beliefs. Some of them actually tap into a higher power in their religious worship. One of the things about worship and chants, let's take it out of Christianity and let's go to some of the more esoteric religions in America. so many Americans who are liberals have abandoned the religion of their fathers and mothers and gone into these other religions, Eastern religions in particular, seeking that energy. That's what they were looking for. So they sat cross-legged in Buddhist temples around the world and they felt nothing. That kind of thing. But if they went and if they actually understood the religion of their fathers and mothers, they could find the energy they're looking for. It's just that it's been lost in the churches of America, by and large. That energy is still accessible in the churches of America. That energy is still accessible in the synagogues of America. But you have to know how to tap into it. And I'm no expert on it. I have my own ways of trying to pull down that energy. There is an energy field. Look, watch the Native American rituals that you can still find here and there. Even the peyote rituals, if any of them have ever been recorded on YouTube. What do you think the Native Americans are doing when they're taking peyote and they're doing their ritualistic dances? What do you think they're doing? They're dancing to some higher spirit, some spirits. They're trying to pull a spiritual energy into their bodies. Am I right? And what do you think the psychedelics were for? It's an attempt to pull an energy into the being. Now, I don't use psychedelics. I've hated them my whole life. I've eschewed them my whole life. In fact, as you're going to read this year in one of my first journal that will be published, this is like a bumper crop of books for me because it may be my last year of writing and everything else. I just won't talk about that right now. But the thing is, a lot of things that I've done and written are coming out this year. And one of them is going to be a journal from the years 1966 to 1969. And my good friend Joseph Farah at WorldNet Daily is publishing it. I've worked on it for 2 years, and they're editing it now and looking through it. And Joe and I did a great interview over the weekend, and he asked me some questions about it. But the point I'm making is, in those years, he said, what were you doing in those years? I said, well, I was a seeker. I was a searcher. I was looking for something. And he said, well, were the 60s all bad? I said, no, they weren't all bad. In fact, they were all good. I said, it was the communists who came in and took the innocence of the 60s and warped it and turned the kids, the young people who were looking for something beyond themselves, something greater than themselves, and turned them into little mini communists. So you can say, well, was the hippie movement all bad? No, it wasn't all bad. Look at the music. Some of it's great music. Some of the art that came out was gibberish and garbage, but some of it was mind-expanding, so to speak. But you have to be open-minded to understand that. You could sit there and say, oh, nonsense, just hippie garbage. Yeah, okay, fine. You can have those attitudes and be a moron your whole life. Or sit there and smoke a cigar and make believe it has no effect on your health, like you're God, and you're not going to be affected by smoking a cigar or eating cheeseburgers day and night, like you're different than other human beings. You can be as ignorant as you want. You could dismiss an entire era, an entire movement, an entire philosophy, an entire religion, because that's stupid and easy and bigoted. It's easy to be a bigot. Bigotry is the easiest thing to follow. Do you know that? Bigotry is the easiest thing to follow. And it's hard to open yourself up to new ideas and new things and new patterns. So I'm getting back to religion. What is religion? What is religion when you come down to it? Why are we even talking about it? Because it was injected into yesterday's caucus. And it was, as far as I'm concerned, too much of it was for show. It offended me. It offended me both as a voter, it offended me as an American, it offended me as a man who believes in the separation of church and state. I didn't want to hear about religion yesterday, to be honest with you. Now, many of you took umbrage with that. You think that I'm rejecting religion. I'm not. I'm rejecting people who are using religion to sway you. That's what I was saying. I don't think you understood that because, you know, it's like two legs good, four legs bad. That's what's going on here. It's like Animal Farm. I feel like I'm walking in Animal Farm right now. Oh, you're not for the program, you're against the program. No, I didn't say that. So, this is sort of a discussion of why I have such a distaste for people who bang Bibles while running for office. It really disgusts me, to be very honest with you. And I didn't appreciate it. You know, keep your religion to yourself, more or less. So you say, well, why don't you? Because I'm not running for office. I'm not looking for your votes. If I feel that religion speaks to the news of the day, I will include a Bible reading from time to time. I don't do it every day. I'm not looking for your vote. I'm trying to show you that, to me, the Bible is a living entity sometimes. Sometimes I'm not interested in it at all. Sometimes I don't believe in God personally at all. Not at all. I lose my faith. It comes and goes. I'm not one of these 100%ers. In that sense, I'm very much like Mother Teresa, who admitted in her last months, she admitted, point blank, she said she was guilty that she didn't always believe in God, and she felt very bad about it. She was a totally honest woman. She was a saint in that regard. She was totally honest. She said, I didn't know if God existed. Some days I didn't feel that he existed. Some days I did. Well, that's very human. So you get a politician who says, oh, yeah, God's with me every minute. It reminded me of Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter may as well have been there at the caucus yesterday with the snake and the strychnine. That's what bothered me. You understand yet? Can I get this or not? No, I don't think I got through. Those who understand this get it. And those who are diehards and fanatics won't accept no matter what I say. They think I don't like religion, I don't like God. That's not what I'm saying at all. And secondly, it's my business anyway. It's not yours. So why am I talking about it? Because it was introduced into the election yesterday and the day before and the week before and the month before. And I hope we don't have to put up with this any longer. I think I'd rather hear about what their plans are to save the military from what Obama is doing to it and has done to it. I'd like to hear their plans for closing the borders and stopping the influx of illegal aliens with or without diseases. I would like to hear about their plan for destroying the greatest threat to our survival that we have faced in our lifetime called ISIS. That's what I'd really like to hear, which are exactly the questions I asked Donald Trump 10 days ago, by the way, right on the show. And I love all those people say he's not specific enough. Well, he answered the questions. Maybe I have to play the interview again for you to hear the answers. All of the great conservatives in the media, the National Review and the Weekly Standard, apparently they don't listen to me. I don't exist to them because I'm not a member of the club. Oh, him? Well, who is he? We don't know him. He's not one of us. We don't care what stations he's on or what he's written. We don't care that he's a national treasure. He's written 30 books. He's not one of us. We don't know him. We don't recognize him. In that sense, they're just like the Soviets. All those fools with inherited money and foundation grants who never worked a day in their life. The Bill Kristols, who without his father's money would be working in a Starbucks if he was lucky. He wouldn't have been able to put enough money to get it to have a single pizzeria in Brooklyn, let alone function as a great intellectual. With Bill Kristol, Weekly Standard, hates Donald Trump. Why do they hate Donald Trump so much? What do they hate about him? What, they're the true conservatives at the Weekly Standard? Are you kidding me? Why do they hate him so much? Because they don't own him. That's why. Just as they don't own me. That's why. So, having said all of that, now let's get back to work here. Yesterday was interesting in that Ben Carson was very angry at Ted Cruz for the dirty tricks that Cruz's group played in Iowa. And, in fact, Cruz admitted he did it. Listen to clip number 11. It's very important you hear it.
At many of the precincts, information was disseminated that I was suspending my campaign, that I had dropped out. And anybody who was planning to vote for me was wasting their vote, and therefore they should reconsider. I mean, if Ted Cruz doesn't know about this, then he clearly needs to very quickly get rid of some people in his organization. And if he does know about it, isn't this the exact kind of thing that the American people are tired of? Why would we want to continue with that kind of, you know, shenanigans?
Okay, and today Ted Cruz admitted that some of his people did it, but he says he didn't know about it, right? Isn't that what he said? They were just wild cards doing it on their own? Yeah, I don't believe a word of that, but again, you want a litmus test. If Cruz is the nominee or Rubio, I'd vote for them over any Democrat. So, can we go past the litmus test? It doesn't mean I happen to like the candidates very much. Then Rubio gave a speech that I think is worth hearing in clip number 14, please.
For months they told us we had no chance.
No.
For months they told us because we offered too much optimism in a time of anger we had no chance. No. For months they told us because we didn't have the right endorsements or the right political connections.
Off.
We had no chance.
Voice is no good. Like a child. A high-pitched voice all of a sudden. What happened to Rubio? Well, where'd the voice come from? And he doesn't have the right voice for the presidency. Hillary Clinton sounds more manly than him. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO.
Once they told us we had no chance. For months they told us because we offered too much optimism in a time of anger, we had no chance. For months they told us because we didn't have the right endorsements or the right political connections, we had no chance.
Send Fredo off to do this, send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things, I'm smart. Not like everybody says. They're dumb, I'm smart, and I want the sticks.
So Rubio is the Fredo of the campaign. When you think about it, let's put it in the Godfather analogy. Trump is Michael Corleone. Cruz would be Sonny Corleone. No, who's Sonny? We know that Rubio is Fredo. But who's the Godfather of all of it? Why, that would be Adelson running Rubio's campaign from his Las Vegas empire, high atop his gambling empire. He's definitely behind Rubio. They're all behind Rubio. He's safe. He wants open borders. He's the Republican establishment candidate. It's anyone but Trump. Anyone but Trump. That's why they want Rubio. So you're going to see Rubio come up from the rear on this one. Excuse me, did I say that? Coming up from the... Well, whatever. I can't use that here. But nevertheless, come up from behind. Enough said that. That's not right either. Well, he'll come up from in the back of the race. I got to be careful here in the Bay Area. I can get accused of anything. You say one word with words in it that they think you're saying something else. So they're all gloating that Cruz and Rubio highlight the GOP's non-Trump path. And they're calling him a loser. How come they're not calling Sanders a loser? Why are they saying Trump is a loser, not saying Sanders is a loser? The real loser is Hillary. If you want to know who the real winner was, it was Bernie. He had almost no money, and he almost won. They stole it from him. The real loser is Hillary. The people are not taken in by her. But, you know, it's so early. Rubio's not going to, you know, stop making believe he won. He didn't win anything yesterday. He came in third. But I'm going to close with something that no one else has said yet. It's an analysis that can only come from years of studying data. And I study data from the point of view of epidemics and disease, and I had to learn statistics, pass exams, and data analysis. I want to remind you, I'm a statistician to a certain extent. You could say that Ted Cruz won, which would be true, and you could say that Trump came in second, which is true, but what you're not seeing is that had there not been a Rubio, Cruz would have beaten Trump 3-1. Admittedly, that's a horrible thing to say, but that's what would have happened in that anomaly, that anomalous state called Iowa, where the Caucasian caucus certainly is not representative of America. It is a Caucasian caucus, not representative of America. Let's see what happens in New Hampshire. Good night.
Thank you.